Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to read the first 13 verses together. You'll get your chapter Bible reading in for the day. Matthew chapter 25. We'll read verses 1 through 13 together. Then I'll pray, and I'm going to jump right into the message. I think I can help you today. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, let's read responsively. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. And let's finish on verse 13. Ready? Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And let's pray. Father, I need you today. Help me as I preach. Lord, give me clarity of mind and voice. God, may I pay attention to you, and may the people pay attention. May all the talking and the noise and the fidgeting stop, and may we focus on the most important thing, the preaching of your word. Help us today, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is speaking here in Matthew chapter 25. Now, remember, he gives us an illustration. You'll see the word parable. The word parable literally means illustration. That's all it is. This is not necessarily a real story, but it is a story that Jesus used to illustrate a truth. Make sense to everybody? That is exactly what Jesus was doing here. And according to verse number 13, it was in reference to the rapture. Now, the rapture is when Jesus comes back for us, and the trumpet sounds, and we which are dead in Christ will rise first, and they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. It is an event that is coming. And this is an illustration about the rapture. Now, Jesus talks here about 10 virgins. These are young ladies. They are pure young ladies. And they are waiting for what they call the bridegroom to come and call for them. It's not really a beauty contest. But what he did was he was an eligible bachelor that was coming and said, Look, give me 10 to choose from. And from that, I'll pick. Does that make sense to everybody? That's about the best way I know how to say it. He wasn't used car shopping, but he was going to pick the one he wanted. He just wanted to trim through all of the non-essentials first. And I'm not going any farther with that, all right? Now, the Bible says 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The Bible says they all took their lamps. Say, why? Because when he called, they needed to be there, they needed to be ready, they needed to be able to get ready and be seen. Now watch this. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The lamp's purpose was so that they could see at night if the bridegroom came at night. That was the purpose of the lamp. It was there so that they could see if the bridegroom came at night. See what? Well, have you ever been woken up at midnight? You're not ready to go meet a boyfriend. You got to brush your teeth or brush your hair and comb your teeth or whatever. Got to get rid of the morning breath. Got to do up the hair and got to get dressed and make sure that everything's in the right spot and you don't have your socks on your hands and everything else. You got to be able to see what you're doing. And the purpose of the light was for them to get ready to meet and go with the bridegroom. Now watch this. All of the ladies grabbed their lamps, but only five grabbed oil in their lamps. See, five of them took lamps that were already ready to go. Five just took the lamp, hoping they would figure out how to fix it when they got there. Well, the five foolish virgins weren't ready. The call came. The Bible says the word cry. It doesn't mean that they were weeping about it. It means that the call came, that the bridegroom was coming through and for them to get ready. And the Bible says that they all jumped up, the five wise jumped up, grabbed their lamps, lit them, and began to go to where they needed to get ready. And the five foolish said, can we borrow your oil? And they said, nope. If we give you our oil, we might not have enough to get to where we're going. And that means we don't have an opportunity. Go buy it at the store. So five had to leave and go to the store and go to Walmart and stand in line at midnight. That's in the Greek, just so you know. All right. And they went and bought their oil while the other five went and got ready. And of course, traffic was bad. They had closed schools, so there was snow on the road or ice. And Walmart had a backup and people didn't show up because it was bad weather. And by the time they got everything purchased and got back, the Bible says the bridegroom came, chose those five wise ones, shut the door and locked the door. And when they got there, they said, we're ready, we're ready. And they were knocking at the door and they said, let us in, let us in. Not by the hair of your chinny chin chin. Oh, and the bridegroom said, nope. You weren't ready when I came. I've made my decision. The door is shut. I don't want you. Boy, that's harsh. But that's what he said in verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not, which means I don't want to know who you are even. Wow. You see, he had already sent word ahead they were to be prepared. He had already told them what the condition was, that they had to be ready at a moment's notice to be ready for this. Obviously a busy person. Obviously a successful person. And he didn't want to wait around on everybody to get ready. So he shut the door and he locked it. By the way, that is perfectly acceptable because that was the rules by which they went under. May I say this? Jesus is coming someday. It's at an event called the rapture. The Bible says, no man knows the hour nor the day wherein the Son of Man cometh. But may I say this? You need to make sure you're saved or you're not going to be going up in the rapture. It is not a matter of you being a super spiritual person. It's a matter of you being saved. And the Bible says that Jesus is the bridegroom and we will become his bride. So when the bridegroom comes, we as the bride must be ready for him. Say, why? Because the Bible says it's going to happen in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen in a split second. You're not going to have time to go to Walmart. You're not going to have time to go to the priest. You're not going to have time to go to the Pope. You're not going to have time to go to the church. You're not going to have time to go to the confessional booth. You're not going to have time to go get baptized. You're going to have to be ready when he comes or you'll miss it. Jesus will immediately rapture us out of here, and so shall we ever be with the Lord forever. Amen. And for the next 7 years, we'll be in heaven receiving our rewards and having what they call the marriage feast of the Lamb. we're going to have a wedding reception in heaven. We are going to buffet our body for years. Glory to God, and no calories. Now, Jesus used this story of the 10 virgins to illustrate the rapture. But watch this. The rapture is only for those who are ready. It's not for everyone. Only those wise enough to get saved will go. And the foolish who reject salvation will not go. I didn't say it. God did. Don't get mad at the messenger. I'm just preaching the message. Now, God says that the rest are the foolish. Did you know it's foolish not to get saved? Who wants to die and go to hell? Who wants to burn for eternity? Who wants to suffer eternal punishment? Nobody does. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, you're proving your foolishness. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have all gone their own way and done abominable works. It is foolish to try to earn salvation your way. Folks, I try to make this as humorous as I can. Christianity is not Burger King. It's not have it your way. It's have it his way. It's not a matter of how I think it should be. How did God say it? It is not a matter of what you and I think. It's a matter of what did God say. God said, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You don't get saved by what you do, you get saved by what he did for you. I'll say it again. Repentance is not being sorrowful about your sin. Repentance is not turning from all of your sins, and if you didn't turn from them all, then you really didn't get saved. That's work salvation. Repentance is you have been trusting your own way, your own works, your own life to get there. And the moment you turn and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the act of salvation is the act of repentance. That's right. The thief on the cross did not have time to forsake his sin. Everybody doing okay? Yes. I don't even find anywhere he was remorseful over it. I don't care how many tears you cry. It doesn't make you saved. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun right now. Just as the five virgins were ready and their lamps were prepared, five were not. By the way, there was not time to prepare after the bridegroom came. After the rapture takes place, there will not be time to prepare for heaven. It's sad. Today I want to teach you some wonderful truths about this. It'll bless you. It'll help you. It'll encourage you. It'll challenge you. Number one, I want you to notice everybody had a lamp. Everybody had a lamp. The wise had lamps and the foolish had lamps. Everybody had the same opportunity. God hath given to every man the measure of faith. Romans chapter 12. What is the measure of faith? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. That word that goes back to that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Brother Scott, years ago, you got saved. Did you know when you got saved, you didn't put your faith in Jesus Christ? God put the faith in you necessary to even get saved. Amen. You can't even provide your own faith. Brother Donnie, about 40, how many services ago? 48 services ago, Brother Don came here and got saved. Amen. Miraculous story. Can I tell you something, Brother Don? You didn't have enough faith, but you came. God put the faith in you even needed to get saved. He got saved. Man, when he got saved, he was like Rover. He got saved all over. Came to church. Then on Wednesday night, helped Marcia move on Friday. Went and visited his house on Saturday. He wasn't there, but his wife Debbie was, and I won Debbie to Christ on Saturday. Amen. She came Sunday morning with him. Amen. They got baptized Sunday night. I'm not even going to go into all the miracles that took place just in that 7-8 day period, trust me. But can I tell you something? You didn't even have enough faith to get saved. God even provided the faith necessary to get saved. Matter of fact, the Bible says we are saved by the faith of Jesus Christ, Galatians chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 2. You see, we don't even have enough faith of our own to get saved. God even has to provide the faith. Salvation is so free, he gave it all to you. But I want you to notice the five wise people had lamps, five wise virgins had lamps, but the five foolish had lamps as well. Are you ready? Hang on. People today have their own belief in eternity. In other words, they have a lamp that's empty with no oil in it. I'll figure it out when I get there. They've got a lamp, but it's empty. Religion today is an empty lamp. They want light, but they want to provide it themselves or borrow it from somebody else. Everybody doing okay? If you got the wrong Bible, you got a lamp with no light. And churches that preach the wrong Bible have a lamp with no light. Last week I preached on the candlestick. Our job as a church is to hold the candle that is the light. There is no light in and of the candlestick itself. It is our job to hold the light, not be the light. Amen. Jesus is the light, not us. So how could we be the light using man's words? How can we be the light using man's reasoning? How can we be the light using man's methods and styles? Everybody doing okay? It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before we bring the world's music to our church. We're not going to have a rock band. We're not going to have the contemporary styles. We're not going to have honky-tonk. We're not going to have Dolly Parton and Johnny Cash. Yeah, buddy. Can I tell you something? I am so sick of the church bringing the world to it. Well, you got to be like the world to reach the world. I'm not going to grow a ponytail just to reach people that have long hair. Amen. Thank God I'm not going to be a sodomite to reach the LGBTQ weirdos of today either. Amen. Am I doing all right? Somebody say amen. Amen. I need Miss Regina back. Come on, folk. Why should... Brother Roloff said it best. Brother Scott, stand up here. You're tired. I'm going to wake you up here. You're going to represent the world. Come on down here. You represent the world so well. Now, stay there about an arm's length. Here's what has happened. Now, go down about where the pulpit is. There are about three steps. Now, this is the distance from the church from the world. But as the world kept getting worse... The world kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Now watch this. I'm still the same distance from the world, but I'm now more worldly than the world was 50 years ago. Come on back here. Stand right in front of your mama there. Because if you don't obey her, she's going to slap you. Now, here's the way it's supposed to be. As the world changes, dumb as a box of rocks, and as it gets worse, we're supposed to stay right here.
Yes, sir.
We're not just supposed to stay the same distance from the world. We're supposed to stay on the same path. Yes. Thank you, Brother Scott. You can have a seat. Now, listen to me very carefully. Today's churches are now more worldly than the world was 50 and 60 years ago. Yes, did you ever see a picture of the Beatles back in the 60s? Yes. Do you realize that they wore ties, had short hair, and everybody complained about their worldly haircuts. Now, hang on to your hat. Now the Southern Gospel quartets of today look worse than the Beatles did back in the 60s. And we think they're the best. And the church has become more worldly than the world was 50 and 60 years ago. Why? We've stayed the same distance, but we didn't stay in the same place. You see, we're supposed to have our lamp and not go the way of the world. Everybody doing all right? I'm talking about dress styles. I'm talking about hairstyles. You don't have to worry about that, Brother Andy. One of these days we'll hire us a youth director. If he spikes his hair up and punks his hair out, he's going to be out on his ear fired that quick. Say why? Because you're not going to act like a bunch of worldly people to go reach teenagers. You're not going to be bringing worldly ways in to reach teenagers. I already have a staff handbook with no staff. In my staff handbook, I've already put in there that a youth director and my staff will not Facebook or communicate electronically with minors. I will protect them. That's right. Are we doing all right?
Amen.
One allegation and we're in trouble.
That's right.
I'll talk to your young people, folks, but usually you'll find out. If you have young people, I call your number, not theirs. I don't have their number, don't want their number. I don't have their email, I don't Facebook, and I don't text with them or anything else. I will protect you. And I'll protect my staff as we hire them in years to come. Say why? Because I want to keep above reproach. I want us to stay away from what the world does. I'm not saying it's sinful to do those things. I'm just saying it's not wise. It's not wise. I'm talking about the average church doesn't. The average preacher couldn't preach his way out of a wet paper bag. The average preacher in the world today has got lace on his underwear and a wet noodle for a backbone.
Amen.
Well, you met one that doesn't have lace on his underwear and definitely doesn't have a wet noodle.
Amen.
You say, why? Well, we just want to inspire people. We would like to sit around the word and encourage one another. Let's come worship together. What happened to preaching?
Amen.
Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, as God said. I don't want to look like Joel Osteen.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't want to look like these weirdos that...
Yeah.
Folks, if I walk like that, fellas, just take me out back and beat me.
Amen.
Good night. Every man of God ought to know how to walk in a pair of cowboy boots.
Amen.
He ought to know how to work, know how to walk in a pair of work boots.
Amen.
Bless God, he ought to be able to get out there and gut a deer and get the blood all over his face and guts all over his hands and enjoy every second of it.
Amen.
Some of these prissy boys, these pretty boys, I want to take them out and just rub their face in it. I can imagine how some manly man wants to sit under a preacher et. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Too many churches today have a lamp and there ain't no oil in it. Or they use too much and the hair and the brain slipped out. Amen. That's why churches today don't have soul winning and have quit running buses. Mm-hmm. They don't want to spread the light. They just want to send the light. They want to choose who the light gets to. Too many churches today are lamps with no oil. Matter of fact, God said their candlestick he'll remove. They had a lamp, but it's got no oil in it. Now listen to me. The five foolish and the five wise had the same desired outcome, but the ones with no oil and with no light are the foolish ones. I'm not mad at the people necessarily that go to churches like that. I'm mad at the preachers that don't have enough backbone, enough integrity, and enough oomph of God to do what's right.
Amen.
Folks, if you don't want the gospel preached at your loved one's funerals, don't call me. Sorry, gonna do it. unapologetically.
That's good, yeah.
I hear people all the time, well, I just don't want to take advantage of a captive audience. Why? Jesus did.
Yeah.
What you're telling me is you need to go change your shorts because you got lace.
Amen.
Oh, I hear that all the time. I've shared enough funerals with these pretty boys. Makes me want to vomit. Say, preacher, you're going to take advantage of them? Hey, it might be the only advantage I've got. Might be the only time they get the gospel. And I've seen thousands saved at funerals. Yes, I'm going to take it.
Amen.
Now, I won't be rude. I won't be crude, usually. I won't be inappropriate, but I'll make sure that the gospel gets out. You see, the ones in the pews are the ones hurt most. They think they're ready. There are people sitting in churches all over this area today. They went to church, they put their time in, and they've been told by some little false prophet that being there is going to be their ticket to heaven, and those people are going to die and go to hell. They're going to miss the rapture, and they're going to say, as it says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? The Lord will say, depart from me, accursed into everlasting darkness. I never knew you. Ooh. I don't know about you. I don't want to face God for that. That's why you're going to get it every time you come.
Amen.
Say why? Because it's my obligation to get the light out. And by the way, Jesus has the right to not let some in. If you don't follow the rule, you don't get in. Tonight they'll have a football game in Atlanta. Super Bowl. Gotta laugh. I was proofreading for a church one time and they were going to have a Super Bowl activity. But the person that did the flyer didn't spell bowl right. They spelled it bowel. You ought to have a Super Bowel activity. I'm sorry, it's one of the funniest things I have ever proofread in my whole life. Brother Randy, I laid on my desk crying. I was laughing so hard. They were having food at the Super Bowl party. Sorry. Told you that crude thing slips in every once in a while. Can I tell you something? Jesus has the right to be discretionary. Did you know that they're not going to let people into the Super Bowl tonight that don't have a ticket? By the way, they have walls, too. Imagine that.
Wow.
Huh. Wonder how that works. And they've got locks and guards.
Wow.
Now, we'll do that for a football game, but we get mad at God because he won't let everybody go the way they want to go? God's not going to make an exception just because you were sincere.
That's right.
Sincerely wrong people still die and go to hell. Notice that they were all virgins too. They all had lamps. They were all virgins. That means this, they were all clean. They were trying to do what was right. They were trying to be what was right. They had good motive. They weren't wicked, vile, scum of the earth, satanic type people. They sacrificed even to be good. But it was their goodness, not God's goodness.
Right.
You see, only five had the oil or the light because five did not have anything. They could not have any light. By the way, often in the Bible, that oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. And a lamp without the Holy Spirit is lightless. But when somebody gets the Holy Spirit that moves in, he fills your tank with oil and it never stops. Number next, and I'll hurry. Only those with oil got to go to the bridegroom. You see, only those who have the Holy Spirit and get saved will go with the rapture.
That's right.
Only those. I knew she had to leave. She had to go to work. It's okay. Don't worry. She didn't get mad. All right. No, you're fine. She's not getting mad and walking out on me. All right. You see... What's missing in our churches today, we've got lots of lamps, but there's no Holy Spirit. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8 for a moment. I'm going to have you use your Bibles for a few verses here. Keep your thumb licked up, and here we go. Romans chapter 8. You ready? Look at verse number 8. Romans 8, verse number 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Notice that Spirit is capitalized. Holy Spirit. If it be so that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelt in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. For you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again into fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you.
Amen.
I won't fight anybody over this, but when you get saved, Jesus doesn't come into your heart, the Holy Spirit does.
That's right. Amen.
You trusted what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God right now.
That's right.
But he left us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, here. He is the one that indwells you. The Bible says he dwelleth or lives inside of you. Take your Bibles, turn back to Romans chapter 5, verse number 5. Romans chapter 5, verse number 5, the Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, and it's regeneticized, regened, and your spirit becomes alive because of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3 talks about the story of Nicodemus. And he said, you must be born again. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So what happens is when you get saved, you are regenerated, regeneticized, and the Holy Spirit moves in and you get the eternal genetics of God spiritually in your life so that you can live forever.
Amen.
But I want you to notice something else. Watch this. In Romans 8, we read that it was the Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead. It'll be the Holy Spirit that resurrects us at the rapture. That's why only those who are saved will go up. Those that are dead who are saved and those who are alive that are saved, the Holy Spirit will take us with him up into the clouds. Romans chapter 8. That's why a lost person cannot go, because they don't have the Spirit of Christ and of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in them. Boy, that's good stuff. And it is the Holy Spirit that rebirths us. I've got time. I'm going to read one more verse. John chapter 14 to you. John chapter 14, look at verse number 16. The Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Notice the capital C. That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves inside of you. Our Pentecostal friends have it wrong. You don't need to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, Holy Spirit rebirths you, and he is in you. You may not be yielding to him, but he's in there.
That's right.
Brother Donnie, 48 services ago, amen? He bowed the knee and trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. The Holy Spirit moved in. Amen. He was as able to be filled with the Holy Spirit as the preacher was.
That's right.
It's the same Holy Spirit. I'm no better than he is. I'm a little farther down the road spiritually. I've been at it longer. I ought to know more, but that doesn't mean I have more of God.
That's right.
He's got the same access. He's got the same lamp with the same oil in it.
Amen.
Guess what? It's eternal oil. It never gives out. Boy, that's good stuff. The five fools asked the five people that had light for the light. You don't get saved by another man. You get saved by God. You had to go to the supplier to get it.
Amen.
Too many people are taking man's way, not God's way. We're asking each other how to get it when we ought to be asking him to supply the need. I got to hurry and I'll be done on time. It took a miracle. Number three, we need to live ready for Jesus to come. If we're saved, if we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we ought therefore to live ready for him to come. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready for the rapture?
Amen.
Now, I'll be honest with you. I was out on the work site this week, Brother Mike. It was one of those mornings that was about 15 degrees out, and they were trying to start up those big diesel machines. Blue smoke starts a rolling. There's nothing quite like the smell of diesel smoke out of one of those things. It just motivates you. Say why? It means work.
Amen.
And lots of it. Dirty work. They were talking about some of the things going on in politics, and we were all standing there solving the world's problems. Say, what was that? We were digging a deep enough hole to bury a bunch of them in.
Amen.
And I said, fellas, why do you think it's getting so bad? I was getting ready to preach. Bobby, it was Greg and his nephew, Bill. Greg speaks up and said, preacher, it's because the Lord's getting ready to come back. They're saved. And I said, yeah. I said, I kind of was complaining for a while. I told the Lord I wanted at least one church service in that building. If I had to go through all this mess, I wanted to preach in there one time. I said, but I'm the point right now, if he came back, I'm not going to be disappointed.
Amen.
Let Jeff Keller pay the bill. I'm to the point where I don't even care. I'm just ready for him to come back. Are you ready? How'd you like to be the governor of Virginia right now? How'd you like to be the New York State government right now? New York State government this last week voted into the Constitution that it's legal to abort a baby all the way through the birth process. And if the child lives through the process, after it's born, you're able to take its life. That was voted into the state constitution. This week, Virginia tried something. Fortunately, the legislators had enough guts to vote it down. And the governor said, oh yes, what we would do is we would allow them to birth that child. We would resuscitate it, keep it comfortable, and then we would discuss with the mother what she wanted to do. It might have Down syndrome. It might be special needs. It might have physical needs. Brother Joe, and I mean this in such a sincere way, there ain't no way. God's little green earth, I think it would have been right to get rid of Gus.
Amen.
Gus is a special needs boy. Amen. Can I tell you something? That little boy knows how to love.
Amen.
He teaches a lot of adults how to love.
Amen.
By the way, the same little boy that the doctors told them for years would never do anything. Right. Guess what? He talks about Jesus. He reads his Bible. He's writing. He's talking. He's shaking hands. He's going to be my church greeter.
That's right. Amen.
But the governor of Virginia would have said, okay, he's going to be a problem the rest of your life. Let's go ahead and take its life after it's born. Folks, that's wickeder than the devil. That is man playing God. Matter of fact, that's man playing Satan. Can I tell you something? That baby's worth more to them because they sell all its parts.
That's right. Exactly what they do.
They take the parts and sell them.
Yep.
It's money. See, well, we're only going to do it in certain cases. Yeah, did you hear that back in the 1970s? And look where we're at. 1972, they said only in the Cape of rape and incest. Now everybody has a right. Folks, please don't get mad at me for saying this, but I'll say it. I shared it with some preachers this week, and I got a few of them wound up enough to get some Holy Ghost in them and get mad. If a woman goes out and gets drunk at a bar and a police officer stops her, and she says, well, it's my body, I'm a woman, I can put into it what I want, you can't stop me for this. That doesn't hold up in court, does it? Well, guess what? She put something into her body when she got pregnant. Why is it that she can get away with getting rid of it that way? With no penalty. Are we doing all right? I said that as appropriately as I know how to say it. You see, are you ready for the rapture? The Bible says, as in the days of Noah and as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We're getting pretty close. How obedient are you? If the rapture took place today, would heaven be a foreign country to you? Would it be a foreign concept? I'm not angry at anybody, but get in, jump in, the water's fine. Get saved, get baptized, join the church, and get with it. Because the Lord's coming back. We don't have much time. Matter of fact, the Lord said, work for the night is coming when no man can work. We're at the midnight hour. We need to be living in preparation for heaven. What we do here is preparation for the next life. We might live 70, 80, 90 years here, but you're going to live for eternity somewhere. And I would rather prepare for eternity than live long here.
Amen.
Boy, that's good stuff. I'd rather live getting other people ready for eternity. I really would. It's not just about me being ready. It's me getting everybody I can ready to go with him and be with him forever in eternity.
Amen.
I'm not asking you to be like me. I'm asking you to do what that book says.
Amen.
You don't want to be like me. My breath smells bad when I get up. My feet stink when I go to bed at night. I think it goes from one end to the other in the middle of the night. Amen? How did that work? I don't know. Guess what? We all have the same flesh. We all have the same problems. My bones hurt like your bones hurt. Oh, my soul. 4:30 this morning, I jumped out of bed. Well, I rolled out of bed. My feet hit the floor. You say, what was the first thing you thought? Gonna be a day. Say, what'd you do? Got to the shower. If I can make it that far, I'm gonna make it. Amen?
Amen.
You see, we ought to live in that book so that we understand God when we meet him.
Amen.
Don't get me wrong. I've been around these Christian weirdos, you know, almost cultish kind of people. Now, there are people that call me a cult. They're an idiot. They don't know any better. I am not a cult leader. I'm not rallying you behind me. I'm rallying you behind the truth of the Word of God around Jesus Christ. But I do have to live in this world. I'm glad I can sit there and talk to my neighbors and be congenial with them and get along with my neighbors. Glad I can work with men on the work site. Amen, Brother Bob. Get along with guys out there. I'm glad that God's allowed me the influence to influence a lot of people. But can I tell you something? I'm ready for the Lord to come back. I don't know about you, but every day I get up now, it's, Lord, could you make it today? I look forward to it. I do. I get tired of seeing what sin does to people. I'll be honest with you. My heart broke this week. I thought of Joe and Ashley this week. I thought of my buddy Gus. Brother Mike, I wondered, how many Gusses will be murdered? Because some pervert idiot thinks he's God. My heart crushed. You don't know what I know. You sit on my side of the desk and counsel the women that have had abortions and murdered their babies, and you try to pick up the pieces. I don't get it. I get tired of what the devil does to people. I get tired of religion. I get tired of these so-called preachers that are so holy that they drive everybody into the ground like a bunch of stinking cattle. God said, be a shepherd, not a cowboy.
Amen.
I will not drive you. I'll love you. I'll lead you. And I'll help you do as much as you want to do for the Lord and try to get you to do a little more, but I am not going to force anybody to do anything.
Amen.
I just want us ready for when we get to heaven. I'd like us to be ready when the rapture takes place. So I'll bang on the door of the elevator so you have rapture practice. Amen? Scare my mother and give her rapture practice just to get her going a little bit. Amen? Say, what's that for? Because I really believe that the Lord's coming back soon.
Amen.
We don't have much time, folks. We better give it everything we've got.
Yep.
Wonder how many people, when the rapture goes up, they're going to be looking for the remote control. Where'd it go? Where'd my TV go? Ain't going to be in heaven. Hollywood won't be there. Football's not going to be there. Yeah. Can I tell you something? Jesus gave us an illustration of five wise virgins. Had their oils in their lamps and their lamps ready. And five foolish virgins who had lamps with no oil and not ready. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready when he comes? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I won't belabor the invitation, but I wonder who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I won't embarrass anybody. I won't come to you. I won't call your name. I won't do anything except in my heart pray for you. But you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I've ever trusted Jesus Christ and that alone take me to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon was something I needed today. That was for me today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens of hands. Thank you. You can put them down. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you raised your hand a moment ago, why don't you come and kneel at an old-fashioned altar? If you can't get to the altar all the way, just turn and kneel at your chair there. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of it. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, like to join our church, didn't pull any punches, you know what we are. We'd love to have you. Maybe you just need to come and let the Lord do business. Are you ready?